All right. Hello, friends. It is Tim, and it is Sunday the 3rd. We're in May. It is May 3rd. We're almost at Cinco de Mayo. By the way, we are 2 days away from when I was originally going to take a trip to Israel, which I say only because I'm still grieving it. I am still grieving it. But it is the 3rd, and right now as I talk, it's 6 o'clock, and the birds are still singing, the sun is still out, and God is faithful yet another day. Somebody, wherever you are, give me an amen. God is good. Amen. For the last couple of podcasts, we have been talking about God's plan, and I thought, you know, we should wrap that up, that conversation up. I want to actually, the next time you listen or the next time I record, I want to talk again about the 500-year shifts. It's kind of where we began some of this journey. We talked about this idea that every 500 years, everything shifts. And so I want to talk about that again. I got a couple of thoughts specifically about the role of the church and then how this is affecting government and how we can or should or could think about our own brains in the midst of all of this. So I want to get back to that. I find some of the things I've been reading to be fascinating. But let's wrap up the God's plan stuff. Some of you have, you've said some really encouraging things. And by the way, when I say wrap up, if you've got questions or there are things you would like to talk about, let me know. This is way more fun when we're having an actual conversation. And so I'm only trying to mimic via some technology, some of the really, really powerful and beautiful conversations that you and I, or many of you and I, have been able to have before the quarantine. And so anyway, let's wrap up. Just as a quick recap, we first talked about how the nature of God's plan, while we have these passages like, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, as the proverb goes. We have these verses, or verses like Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. We have these verses, these promises, and there's this sense that God says, this all, whatever this is, whatever you're dealing with, this is all part of it. This is all part of my plan. I am not any less powerful or able in the midst of this season because of what you're going through. However, sometimes we have a sense of what God's plan should be. And so as we said, sometimes the answer to our idea of God's plan from God is a no. Sometimes the best course for the future looks the exact opposite of what we would think it should look like. So for instance, we said Leah, you bump across this lady Leah in the Bible, and Leah is unloved by her husband Jacob. She is second to her sister for the love of her husband, and Leah spends her entire life being second and being unloved. And Leah will have 4 kids, but she will die, I assume, thinking that she is unloved, being unloved, and actually feeling a bit like her life was a waste. And yet, 2 of her 4 children go on to change the world. One of them is named Judah. He becomes the great-great-great ancestor of King David and then later Jesus. And then one of them is Levi. Levi becomes the ancestor of Moses. And essentially the entire Bible, as we know it, if Jacob would have gotten Rachel, the loved sister, the entire Bible as we know it would have not played out as we have it. Sometimes the answer is no. We talked about that. We talked about Paul. Paul, the guy who writes the majority of the New Testament, one of the most, the first Christian, the church planter, the guy who travels the world, the one who writes books like Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. Paul has what he refers to as a thorn in his flesh. And he cries out again and again and again for God to take the thorn, and God doesn't. Sometimes the answer is no. Ultimately, we looked at Jesus and how Jesus in Gethsemane cries out a very honest prayer. Father, would you take the cup, a cup of suffering from me? I can't bear it anymore. Would you take it? And then we looked at the cross and how Jesus essentially recognizes on the cross by quoting Psalm 22 that the answer to the felt need of would you take the pain and suffering is no, but God is still present. And in fact, in more beautiful ways. Okay, that was what we talked about. That was the beginning of this. Then we talked about how sometimes the answer is no, but sometimes the answer is slow. Sometimes it's just slower. I gave you one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, Exodus 13, 17. When God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, he did not lead them down through the Philistine country or down the Philistine road, though that were shorter. But instead, God knew what would happen if he did, so he led them through the desert. And we talked about the slow road. For some of you, not just take away this season. This season's going to come and go. But for some of you, you've been in a long season of desert, and it feels like the slow road. Often I find that these are around relationships. You are lonely, and you are waiting, and you are praying, and the time keeps ticking. Or maybe worse, you are in a relationship and you are lonely and they don't care, they don't see you, and the time keeps ticking. And that's the long road. Where are you, God? Is the appropriate question in this season. But it's the long road. It's the long road. Why are we in the desert when we could go on the short road? Why are we here? We looked at Jeremiah 29:11, the most quoted verse. I read somewhere this is the most quoted verse in the Old Testament altogether. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That verse. But we looked at the verse right before the verse and how the verse before the verse talks about how when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, then God says, I will restore you and take you back, for I know the plans I have for you. 70 years is a lifetime in the Jewish mindset. Sometimes the formation, the recognition of God's plan takes an entire lifetime. And it's in those moments where it's easy to toss in the towel and say, God is not good, or God is not present, or God doesn't care. And what you find in the scriptures is quite the contrary. We do not have the luxury of always seeing the fruit of our labor in our lifetime. But that does not make God less powerful. Okay, let's wrap that up. Let's talk today about how. So sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is slow. Sometimes, hear me on this, the answer is go. Here's what I mean. There are times where God says, well, we know very clearly that there's the right thing to do. There's the noble thing to do. There's the good thing to do. And yet we will do things or say things like, you know, I just need to pray on it. I just need to wait upon God. Both very Christian, noble ideas, very biblical ideas. But sometimes we say those things as a cop-out from doing the thing we know we're supposed to do. Okay, here's the story. So if Exodus 13, God leads the Israelites on the long road, the next story, let me set it up a bit. The Israelites are following this guy Moses, and Moses is with the Israelites, is on the run from the Egyptians. They've left slavery, but the Egyptians change their mind mid-course, and they decide, we actually don't want to let these Israelite people go. Let's make them come back. Moses is on the run. Now, up until this point, God has said to Moses again and again, I, through you, but I am going to set my people free. Moses, you just lead. Keep moving. I'll set them free. That's the story. Now, Moses is doing that, and he's quite diligent in doing that, but then he comes into a problem. The Egyptians are chasing behind him, but in front of him, he comes to a bit of a roadblock. Specifically, there is a sea, what in the Bible is known as the Sea of Reeds, often translated the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds, and they're stuck because we can't. At that point in time, human beings could not just walk on water, right? Like, we still can't. Like, they're stuck. And, okay, that's the setup for the story. The story is in Exodus 14. If you want to read it along with me, it's Exodus 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, so Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" Pause there. Were there no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to die? My friends, that is sarcasm. If you know anything about the ancient Egyptians, even one thing about the ancient Egyptians, what's the one thing you know about the ancient Egyptians? They built the what? The pyramids. Yeah, we all know this. This is like my four-year-old knows that they built the pyramids. What are the pyramids? If not giant tombs to the pharaohs. The Egyptians, we have from their hieroglyphics, were obsessed with death. They were obsessed with death. In fact, I found what I find to be a really humorous meme that's going around. I love a good meme. Do you love a good meme? Some of you are like, what is a meme? Yeah, I don't know. What does it meme? Anyway, I love a good meme. And there was a meme that was... So apparently, in October, we discovered 20 unmarked and unopened Egyptian graves. And the meme was, no, don't do it. Don't open the graves. Yeah, I find that funny and weirdly dark. It's like a dark humor. Anyway, they were obsessed with death. So when the Israelites say, "Were there no tombs in Egypt that you led us here to die?" Ladies and gentlemen, that is sarcasm. Because turn around, there were tombs everywhere. We still visit them. Moving along. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Pause again. No. No, you didn't say that. You didn't say it was great in Egypt. I read your accounts. We know your accounts. You said, the Egyptians are working us ruthlessly. You said, we are slaves. You were willing to kill a lamb and rub its blood on the doorposts of your home. That you were so anti the Egyptians that you were willing to risk your lives leaving Egypt. Okay, let's be straight on this. There is a tendency in these seasons, in these desert seasons, to romanticize our past, to say things like, okay, let's be honest. Some of you, 6 weeks ago, you said things like, man, I'm so tired. I would give anything for just a little break. Or, I am so sick of seeing so-and-so. Or, I am so sick of working so much. Okay? Do you see the irony in this now? Yeah, I'm not saying that wasn't justified at the time. Like I'm not able to judge your story. Like I'm not able to judge it. However, just catch the irony. We are now in a different season, and we are looking back on our former season, and we're saying things like, "If I could only go back to work, if I could only like contribute again, if I could only see so and so again." Yeah, some of the things we were lamenting before, we now look back on and say, that was so great. And if, by the way, when life resumes, if we don't choose to make some changes, which is what I want to talk about in the 500-Year Shift podcast, but if we don't choose to make some changes, we will go back to work. We will appreciate our coworkers again. We'll appreciate our job again for a season. And then it won't take long. We'll go right back to buying stuff we don't need, working hours that we dread, wishing we saw our families more often, lamenting private alone time. We'll go right back. We will go right back. Yeah. So okay, back to the story. Man, I feel like I'm preaching. I'm not trying to preach right now. I'm just trying to share some stuff. Okay, so back to the story. Verse 13 of Exodus 14. Well, let me back. Verse 12 of Exodus 14. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people. Here it is. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, or stand where you are, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. So be firm, stand where you are. God's got this, essentially. God will fight for you. All you need to do is stand still. Now, standing still means not doing what? Yeah, moving. Anything. Stand where you are. Now, if you're the Israelites, the Egyptians are chasing you. You've got the Red Sea on one end. If you stand still, they're going to mow you over. But Moses assumes that God's going to fight for you. He's going to wipe them out. You don't have to fight. Don't worry. Just stand still. Okay, next verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Do you catch the story? Moses says, okay, we're stuck. What am I supposed to do? You can almost feel like him thinking on the fly, like, oh no, God said lead the Israelites out of Egypt. I'm stuck. Okay, just stand still. God will fight for us. And then God says, no, I told you to keep going. Don't just stand there. Go. And then, of course, like the whole parting of the sea thing. But here's why I bring this up. Here's where I want to end here. Sometimes when it comes to God's plan, we will do things or say things like, I just got to pray about it. Like, there is somebody we know or love and they're really, really in need. Financially, they're just, or maybe it's like a whole organization. It's like the church or a nonprofit or something that you just know this organization does amazing work and they're helping people do through some amazingly difficult times. And you know you can support this organization. You know it. You can support and you can carry, you can help carry the burden. And you have the ability to do so. And yet you find yourself saying things like, well, I'm just going to pray about it. Yeah, sometimes that statement is actually a cop-out from doing the right thing. Or how about this? Let's take money out of it because it gets weird when we talk money. Let's take money out of it. Let's think about forgiveness. And this one hits all of us personally, myself included. But let's think about the times you have had your heart broken and the times they really, really wounded you. You gave them your heart. You gave them your trust. You gave them your future and you said to them, please be good with it. And they weren't. They shattered it. And now you find yourself praying, God, do I need to forgive them? Or let's say it a different way. God, should I forgive them? And you know the answer. You know that the answer, of course, is yes. Because you're carrying around all these wounds and it's leading to all this like weird sideways energy. And again, forgiveness is not reconciliation necessarily. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to go back to a relationship with them. And the prayer of like, how do I forgive them? Or how do I open it up? Different prayer. But this question of should I is at times a cop-out from doing the right thing. We already know the answer to the prayer. God's already been clear about it. You can pray about it, but why do you need to pray about what God's already been clear? Do you have to love your enemy? Yes, God's clear on this. Do you have to care about the least and the marginalized and the oppressed? Yes, God has been clear about this. Do we as Christians, are we demanded to care about the immigrant within our gates? Yes, God has been clear about this. Now, we can say things like, well, I just got to pray on it, but we already know. Sometimes the answer to the prayer is you go on. What are you doing here waiting? You already know the answer to this prayer. God already has been clear. Yeah. 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 So maybe this season of reflection and introspection, and I'm hoping, by the way, I'm hoping you're using this season for that. Maybe this season of introspection and reflection is an opportunity for us to be really serious about our faith. And are we willing to follow God into the dangerous territory, even the territory where it appears like the water may come to crashing down all around us. Yeah. All right, friends. I'm gonna have some dinner. And so that's yeah. I say this a lot, but I mean it. I pray for you often. I hope you're doing well. Please reach out if you're not. And I'm not just talking physical health, but if you're in any ways feeling lonely, if you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling lost or scared, reach out. Please reach out. I'd love to listen. Until then, friends, grace and peace.